Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Nicholas Callisto to the broadcast. Nick is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Hovnanian Enterprises Incorporated, a large residential home builder. Prior to joining Hovnanian, Nick held key information technology leadership positions at large organizations including Pepsi-Cola, Priceline.com, Hyperion Solutions, Behringer Ingelheim, and Bayer Corporation. Nick is active in many CIO networks and education forums, and he's also the recipient of many industry awards, including the 2010 CIO 100 by IDG's CIO Magazine, the 2009 InfoWorld 100, and the 2009 and 2010 Information Week 500. Nick has a BBA in Management Information Systems and an MS in Information Systems from Pace University. I recently caught up with Nick in his office in Red Bank, New Jersey, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as Nick covered the ways in which he has motivated his team during tough times in his industry and his company. Principle 4, as Nick discussed how he runs IT like a business, and in so doing, has made IT's activities more accessible to his colleagues outside of IT, as well as some other topics. Nick Callisto, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Nick, I wonder, for those listeners who may be less familiar with K. Hovnanian Companies, could you please describe the business and your role in it?
Yeah, K. Hovnanian is a national home builder, and we've been in business since 1959, so 51 years. We build in 18 states and have a very diversified product type. We sell a wide array of attached and detached home styles. We rank as one of the largest home builders in the U.S., and with total revenues of $1.6 billion on over 5,000 home deliveries in fiscal year 2009. As CIO, I'm responsible for overseeing all the information technology products and services across the company, including applications, infrastructure, related services. But I also have a heavy involvement in the development of policies, processes, and compliance programs. So I look at it as a bit of a hybrid role.
That's great. As you mentioned, the industry that you're in, obviously this is these are trying times for your industry, and your organization has not avoided being negatively impacted. But although it does appear as though, from what I've read, that it's weathered the storm better than most, I was particularly intrigued, frankly, in preparing for this this interview, Nick, and in learning more about your operation, the awards you've garnered. You recently have won the CIO 100 award, for instance. So that despite in these despite the challenging times that the organization, the industry is in, that your IT team has been winning these accolades, doing creative things, continuing to think about how to innovate on behalf of the business. I wonder if you could talk a bit about how you focus your attention during these trying times.
Sure. We've been laser focused on implementing an integrated suite of business applications and processes across the company. And it's a suite that's made up of 10 business applications from a variety of technology partners. The applications are categorized into four buckets or domains, if you will. Enterprise resource planning, customer relationship management, supply chain management, and business intelligence. So your typical domains. The secret recipe for our operating platform, however, Peter, is our integration and our BI capabilities are totally custom. We've spent a good deal of the last 5 years integrating the applications to form what we believe is the most cohesive and sophisticated platform in our home building industry. I think a lot of companies use the same technology, such as Oracle, J. Edwards, right, Peter? The difference is beneath the surface of the technologies. A lot of companies use the same software, but it doesn't make them all great or all terrible companies. At Hovnanian, we've concentrated our efforts on standardizing and integrating our business processes and systems, and I don't think there's anything in home building quite like it. And it's really unique because of the harmonized processes, the integration, and the BI, you know, is totally customized.
That's fascinating. I wonder if you can talk a bit more in depth about that and the means in which your organization has gotten really into the strategic knitting of the organization. It seems like yours is a team that's very business savvy, that is engaging your business. Can you talk a bit more about how that's done?
Absolutely. It's, you know, we actually refer to the system as the K. Hovnanian Integrated Software System, or KISS. And believe me, I get a lot of wisecracks about the name. I didn't name it. But it's now part of our lexicon in the company. It kind of rolls off our lips, no pun intended. and note the word integration in the name. So integration is actually part of our name of our suite. And let me give you a few examples of how we live up to our namesake. You know, imagine a pyramid with four levels, and I'll let you describe each of the four levels. You know, our first level is our master data. You know, we have one customer master, one vendor master, one plan master, etc. It may sound like IT 101 for many of your listeners, but it's an essential part of our architecture. If you don't have your master data nailed down, you really have no business chasing the integration. And level two is our commitment to best-of-breed business applications. I'm convinced that we've got the best software that this industry has to offer. And one of the criteria that we used to select the software was the quality of our technology partners. And when we sign a new technology partner, we're really partnering with that company, and they become part of our team, an extension of our team. So we have to get that right. The third level is the integration level layer between the applications. And we happen to use a product called Microsoft BizTalk for this purpose, and it's worked out really well for us. And I'll give you an example. If a prospect visits our website and enters their contact information, that information is immediately captured in our CRM software, and our sales consultants begin their follow-up tasks. They're emailing, they're writing letters, they're calling the contact. When that prospect turns into a buyer and selects a floor plan and some options for that floor plan, all the information is passed on to our supply chain management solution for home construction and also into our ERP system for purchasing and the accounting activities. So they may be 10 separate systems overall, but they act as one unified platform. And the fourth level is the business intelligence platform. You know, Hovnanian, as most companies, Peter, has an insatiable appetite for information, and particularly sophisticated management reports. And while each of our business applications has their own standard reports that usually come prepackaged, and they address some of our needs, the real interest is in Hovnanian is correlating these different data sources from these different applications. And for example, one requirement we have is combining contract information with financial plan data or budget data with construction status. And we've been able to address these requirements through the development of a warehouse, which provides real-time access to information across our suite. And I think that's, so those four layers of architecture really bring together KISS and make it a valuable contribution to the company.
That's really great. This reminds me of the analogy that we often like to use of IT as the central nervous system for the organization. It really seems as though IT has become so much a part of what the business is doing, enabling end customers, in fact, which is, I think, and it seems like an exciting avenue for your organization to pursue as well. It really does seem like you've achieved this sort of IT as the central nervous system of the organization to some extent.
I think it's all interdependent now. I don't think you can separate technology from the business anymore. And that's why I mentioned earlier, I've gotten more involved with my team, and my team does a great job in helping to develop the policies and processes along with their business partners. And that's important because I don't see how we can operate, these days, many companies cannot, without technology. So it is the fabric of the company, right? So we don't get ahead of ourselves and say, we are a software company, we're a home builder, right? At the very basic level, we're a home builder. But the technology definitely empowers, and we like to say that KISS is processes powered by technology.
Well put. Excellent. Well, I was also intrigued in preparing for this that you have a rule for yourself and for your team not to refer to those colleagues of yours outside of IT as customers, quote unquote. I mentioned this on the heels of what you just described because of this whole partnering relationship you have with the rest of the organization. Can you talk about the implications and the rationale for this idea?
Yeah, the only customer I recognize, not to be pompous about it, I think, is the person that buys one of our homes, right? If an IT leader refers to employees throughout the company as his customer or an internal customer, that's usually a way of many IT leaders putting it, he's making himself or she's making herself a servant to them, which is really dead wrong in my opinion. And when was the last time you heard other C-level executives, say a COO or CFO, refer to employees in the organizations as their customers? I've never heard that throughout my entire career, not just here, never. So why is it almost expected that a CIO would do so? Not that we shouldn't provide good service, but we need to be seen as peers, not order takers in the organization. So I look at IT leaders as business leaders. We just happen to have a discipline in technologies, which is pretty much fused, like I said earlier, fused together with other business functions these days. We straddle all business functions in this company. So we have a unique and powerful perspective on the operations.
That's great. I think those are great perspectives. Can you talk a little bit more about some of your priorities for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, our first priority is to fully roll out our standard operating platform, which I mentioned earlier. And aside from this, I'm interested in any innovations that will help us achieve our IT mission, which is to increase revenue, improve profit, and enhance customer satisfaction. That's our mission for IT. Overall vision for IT is for Hovnanian IT to become a core competitive strength for the company. So let me give you two examples of what we're doing in the near future towards this goal. You know, first, we're investing in technology that will help us enrich the home buying experience. Next year, we'll be launching a buyer portal, which is a portal we're going to offer to the actual buyer, someone that signs a contract, and they're going to have the opportunity to select designer gallery options online. So this includes items like cabinets and appliances and lighting fixtures, and buyers can do this before they come into our design gallery to make their final selections. So this is very convenient for the buyer, but it also helps us a lot too, because we want to understand, is the buyer has traditional taste, or do they have more of a contemporary taste? And this is helpful to know before they come in, so that our design gallery consultant can then, you know, help them guide them towards selections that are, you know, better suited for their taste. So that's one example of how we're enriching the buying experience. And on a separate note, we are planning to roll out electronic payment processing with several of our trade partners to eliminate cutting of checks. One of the things, you know, our solution is virtually paperless for the most part, but one area that we still have paper is cutting checks. So we are looking at ways with a major bank to digitize that process, and that'll help us further streamline our processes and eliminate unnecessary costs. Those are some of the things that we're working on in the near future.
That is intriguing. So as we discussed before, your priorities span those areas where you can facilitate change and on behalf of your partners inside, as well as the customers, the, as you referred to before, your only true customers, your external customers. So you really are integrating into both of those. I wonder, as this is an example, but relatively new in many cases, of IT organizations becoming more involved with external customers, how does that process begin? As you are divining ideas for end customers, are you engaging them? Are you working through your internal partners to understand the sorts of needs that they might have? What's the process there, Nick?
Yes, our customers are really the home buyers. So we don't have a formal relationship with them where we'll bring them in. And we do have focus groups on occasion where we have customers come in or answer surveys. So what we're doing more of is the online surveys, because, you know, our customers are across the nation. So what we do is we put together surveys with our business partners. We have focus groups with them. We are doing more online. So as customers now are going to be using our home buyer portal, we have customers using our homeowner service portal. We're using those in our website. We're using those mechanisms to ask questions and poll them and chat with them. So we are doing those. So it's actually, we're doing it, you know, using the internet versus doing a lot more in person. So we lean on our sales consultants to have more of that intimate relationship with our customers firsthand. So that's the way that our business model works, which is, you know, different from maybe a manufacturer like a consumer packaged goods company, where they're dealing with their customers are viewed as perhaps the distributors or the retailers. So IT has a little larger role, I think a larger role in meeting with the customers, going out to meeting with a Walmart, for example, a retailer, maybe selling a packaged good that you're producing. It's a different kind of relationship in the supply chain.
That makes sense. We mentioned earlier these are trying times for your industry. I wonder what sorts of steps have you taken? What methods have you used in order to make sure that your team is a motivated team? And I'd also like to get some ideas from you on the thoughts that you've put into place with regard to talent management, more generally speaking.
We've had a number of different talent management programs that we've built out in our department, but I think it starts really with my leadership developing specific performance objectives that are based on our strategic plan. So that's really the foundation for all of this. We then cascade those objectives to every employee in IT, and they enter more specifics about what they're going to personally do to fulfill the goals and objectives of the department. And that helps to ensure that every employee in IT has a clear understanding of how they fit into the overall big picture. So then we established a talent management committee, I think this is what you're getting at, in IT, and we partner with HR to do this. And this committee develops programs that help attract, motivate, and retain our top talent. And the committee focuses on ensuring that our talent is on the cutting edge of knowledge to achieve our overall vision. And we've made a lot of progress over the last few years in this area. And despite, you know, the downturn, you know, this is the one thing that we can control, right? So as an IT leader, I can't control merit. I can't control some of the benefits that happen in the organization or the result of the downturn, what things we can't afford to do as an organization. But I can control how I help develop my talent. A couple of things. I mentioned four. We have established standardized job descriptions across the department by discipline. So if infrastructure has a set of standard job descriptions across infrastructure, we've done the same thing for development, for a business analysis area. We have a comprehensive online training program that offers our employees over 200 classes. It's all online. It's fantastic. It really is. It's a very inexpensive way to deliver training to your troops, and it really worked out real well. We have an award system. If you take 5 classes, you get bronze, a bronze member. If you take 25 classes, you're a silver member. And, you know, folks really find it sort of competitive, and they really strive for that, and we celebrate their successes in doing so. And then we have a job rotation program, and this helps move employees from one job to another within our department to provide them with, you know, an opportunity to explore alternative career paths, prevent, you know, job boredom, develop skills, and hopefully improve the overall talent of our department. And long term, what I'm trying to do is extend that program into the business, our business partners, so that if someone in IT wants to go join accounting or go join purchasing in the organization, they can do so, and vice versa. The last component that we're working on now is, and some of the other companies may have gotten to this already, but we have not really focused on this, is trying to identify the real critical skills of our department and understand what coverage and gaps we have for those skills. We've been spending a lot of time cross-training, but I don't think we really have clearly articulated where our coverage and our gaps are. So, you know, do we have enough backup for skills to run our network? Do we have backup for the integration developers I mentioned before about how important is integration to us, and how many people do we really have that understand that integration and backup if someone gets sick or goes on vacation? So we're going to use the results of this analysis to drive specific, real specific targeted cross-training activities in 2011. So that's what we've been focusing on. We take talent management very seriously, and not just lip service. We really have formal programs across our department to help develop our talent.
That makes a lot of sense. Before I let you go, Nick, I wanted to get your thoughts on technologies or trends that particularly excite you. As you look into your own personal crystal ball, what are the things that you find particularly intriguing?
Well, I think mobile computing is important to us, given that a good portion of our workforce includes jobs that are always on the go, like construction managers and quality inspectors and homeowner service managers. These folks now use a tablet computer, but it's a very heavy footprint, you know. So we're very excited about the new Windows 7 Slate computers that are coming out that resemble the iPad and are now arriving on the market. HP just announced one recently. I'm also really interested in the trend to integrate enterprise system functions on a smartphone. This is very exciting. You know, imagine providing managers with the ability to, you know, approve purchase orders on a smartphone by simply pressing a few buttons rather than having to log onto the application, navigate, you know, 5 or 6 screens. So this is pretty exciting. And the same technology provides a very creative and useful BI capabilities for the smartphone too. You know, graphics are becoming richer on the smartphone. You're looking at pie charts and Gantt charts, and just they're much more easy to navigate these days than they were in the past. So I think this technology has the promise to drive significant productivity in our industry, and I'm really excited about exploring new ways to truly mobilize our enterprise system. The second area that we've been pretty excited about is cloud computing, and not because it's anything new. There's definitely a lot of hype out there, and I'm always embarrassed to mention it because it's so much hype, you know. But it's really because there's been a surge of new infrastructure hosting providers that are entering the market now because of all that hype. And this is resulting, Peter, in greater competition, which is great for us, right? Because the more competition, the lower the cost. So we are looking to lower our costs and broaden our investment in cloud-based disaster recovery services. So that's why that's exciting to me, not because of the branding of cloud computing. It's more of the cost savings.
That's great. Well, Nick Callisto, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your insights here on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation. Great having you.
But thanks so much, Peter. And I really enjoyed your book, World Class IT. We used it this year as a basis for strategic planning, and the principles were very helpful. And just to structure our plan and think through some of the metrics that you put in there were very, very exciting. And we are leveraging those metrics today. So I appreciate the book, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Very, very kind of you to mention that. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of World Class IT. The 5 principles are as follows.
Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.